You know, I love the hymnal. Not only the Methodist hymnal, the Baptist hymnal, all the hymnals. Because hymns are usually poetry that set the music. And the other thing about it, in the hymnal, some of the greatest sermons ever preached in our church is in the hymnal if you just take time to read them. So this is what I've been thinking about. This song has been in my spirit for a long time. They call it an earworm. And it's simply entitled, I'm not going to sing it to you, I'm just going to read you the first verse. And it's simply entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace of tenth forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And of course, there's a couple other verses touched up. My goal about teaching Jesus as friend, I think all of us know that he is available to us just by opening our heart and asking him to come in. But my life goal has always been, because I couldn't do all this stuff on my own, that I realized that Jesus is in my life and he can be my friend. So when I opened my heart and asked him in, he became my best friend, somebody that I really rely on, like you do any other good friend. And I've had the privilege of studying theology in a formal setting. I went to Florida Southern for my licensing to preach at the United Methodist College in Lakeland. And I was blessed then to end up at Emory at Candler School of Theology for 9 years. It took me 9 years to go through it, but I was doing it part-time, so it wasn't like that. But I enjoyed that traveling back and forth to Atlanta. And I think sometimes we can get pretty stuffy with what we believe. Just because I went to seminary and did all this other training, I'm no different than what you are, because none of that made any sense to me until I actually got into the Word of God himself and studied it. I think sometimes we take the gospel and we make it more complicated than what it is. And I think then we lose some of the fundamental simplicity of the faith that really isn't that complicated. So theology is important, and theology simply means your thoughts about God. And we all have our own theology. It's our own thoughts about God. But we need to remember this, that our faith is centered in the personhood and fashioned at the friendship. Our friend's name is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. And why do we always emphasize Jesus of Nazareth? Well, like many other names, like Smith in our country, there's a lot of Smiths in our country that's not really related to anybody. That name Jesus was a common name that people had in the first century when Jesus walked here on the earth. But what signifies Jesus is different. He was from Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. If you remember the scriptures, when they first realized that Jesus was ministering, what good could come out of Nazareth? So that's why we always make sure that we focus on the right Jesus. So when we accept Jesus as Lord of our life and invite him into our lives, it changes everything about who we are as individuals. And friendship with him begins with a simple prayer. You can use your own simple prayer. I'm going to give you a model prayer. But a simple prayer is opening your heart with a sincere attitude towards God and say, Lord, come into my life and be Lord over it. But here's a sample prayer. Almighty God, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe Jesus is your Son and he died on the cross for my sins. I believe you raised him to life again for my justification. So justification with God is a simple thing, just as I've never sinned. That's all that word means, just as I've never sinned. Justification. Forgive me of my sins. I forgive everyone who has sinned against me, Jesus, and be Lord of my life. And I want to serve you as Lord and King, and I want to thank you now that I belong to the family of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Choosing that prayer or your own prayer with a sincere heart is the most significant thing you'll ever do in your life. Because that one decision transfers you from the darkness and despair of Satan's kingdom. Boy, do we know he's alive and well. He is the God of this world, by the way. You see, when Jesus had died on the cross, he paved the way for us to enjoy eternal life with God. But we don't have to wait for heaven. We can begin to enjoy the benefits while we're here on this earth. Every moment, every day, we can walk through life with Jesus by our side. And in him, we have a friend beyond any other that we will ever know. So it's very helpful for me, and I hope for you, is to think about developing a friendship with Jesus, because I think I understand what it means to have a friend, and I hope and pray that you know what it means to have a friend. And most of us have a good earthly friend, thanks be to God. But there's people whose friendships that I greatly value and who I'm very close with. We had dinner the other night with some close friends from Gray Memorial. It was always good to see them. And it's always a wonderful thing. And then there's other people who I'm friendly with, but I don't have a relationship in more ordinary ways or even detached. But what I want to share with you today is to have more than a casual friendship with Jesus. Let him become your best friend. You can call on him 24/7. Pretty cool. Matthew called Jesus a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. In teaching his followers, Jesus said, "I want to tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more." Luke chapter 12, verse 4. And then he said of himself in John 15, 13, "Greater love has no one other than this, is to lay down one's life for one's friend." Now I hope and pray that if you come and we continue on with this series, and if you happen to miss one, you can find it on the website. That's a beautiful thing that Phil has done, archiving all of this. And then, of course, this service this morning is on the website, too. And it's done in an order that you can follow along just like you were in church. So, I don't think that having a friend with Jesus means that he's your pal or your buddy or your bubba or your sidekick. I think it means a very majestic, holy, almighty God of the universe is willing to let you and me be his friend. And with that comes reverence and awe, respect and obedience, service. And from that comes courage and boldness and fulfillment, and more importantly, the gift of eternal life. I like what the Apostle Paul said. I paraphrase it a lot. If we only had this life, this one that we're in now, and we look around, if we only had this life to look forward to, you know, go to bed, get up in the morning, go to work, come home, and eat, go to bed, all that mundane stuff. If we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But praise be to God, we have something to look forward to. Eternal life. A world without sin. A world without conflict. And then, not only that, we'll return with Jesus to set up his kingdom here on this earth. You can find that in the little book of Jude. But I digress. The Apostle John, who was a young man at the time, probably a teenager, and when he heard a commanding voice say to him, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Now, John was also a fisherman. In Matthew chapter 4:19, turning, he said, something about that rabbi. But look at his hands. They're rough like a carpenter. This brash young, this young ordinary person, John, a young fisherman, had no idea what was in store for him. Because all of the disciples, it seemed that John and Jesus had the most closest relationship of all of them. John himself talked about it in John chapter 13, verse 23, where he said, "I am the disciple who Jesus loved." We can only imagine how John felt after 3 unbelievable years with Jesus and watch him ascend from the Mount of Olives and disappear into the clouds of heaven. It had to be very hard for not only him but the rest of them to see his very best friend move away. Decades have passed, and now this teenager that we see in the Gospels became the last surviving members of the apostolic band. All the rest of them were killed or martyred. John continued on to an old age, up in his 90s. But the Roman government feared him, and they exiled him to a little island in the Aegean Sea called Patmos, which is on off the coast of Turkey. Judy and I were blessed on one of our trips with educational opportunities to visit the Isle of Patmos and visit the cave where John received the revelation and all the things in Scripture. You can see in that cave, even the crack in the roof of that cave. And I was blessed to be able to give a devotion outside that cave. It's one of the highlights of my whole time as being a pastor. To be able to do that devotion outside the cave where John received the revelation of Jesus. It's not John's revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus. But meanwhile, in heaven, the time had come for Jesus to give his final instructions to the church. And the last book of the Bible, full of helpful prophecies related to his return, and he is coming back soon. I don't know when. Jesus said, only Daddy knows when I'm coming, but I am coming. The question was poised in high places. I think that they were sitting around in heaven and thinking, you know, who can we give this message to? I know. We can give this message to the one who would faithfully deliver it. Jesus said, I think that's my friend John. And that's what he did. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 17, it tells the story. John still being in exile was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when he heard a voice behind him. John turned. He saw Jesus. A man that he knew in Galilee. The one who had no pillow for his head. And John now saw him, Jesus, was glorified and majestic, bright as the sun and enthroned on high and surrounded by brilliant symbols. And John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever. You can find that in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Now, I would submit to you that John saw his friend, his buddy, his friend. And we're living in days leading to the events described in the book of Revelation. We're living Bible prophecy. Somebody said to me one time, I wish I was living back in the Bible days. You are living in Bible days. All the things that are happening that is foretold in the Bible, especially in the book of Revelation, we're seeing happening right before our eyes. We're living it. And I'll discuss some of that in this whole part of the series. But the spirit of Antichrist has really infiltrated our world. We're living it. We're here. But Jesus says too, friend to friend, I love what Jesus always said when he would approach. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now, look, I'm alive forever and ever. I think more than anything else that we should aspire to is we want to be a friend of Jesus. And I want to plant those seeds. I am not a hellfire and brimstone preacher. All I want to do is plant seeds of the gospel. And let people make their own decisions. Because once you open your heart to Jesus, God and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. I don't have to browbeat anybody to have a relationship with their very best friend. Now, I'm not looking to add rules or think about what you got to do in order to get Jesus to be a friend. But when I see him one day, and I hope you will see him one day, you will want to look at him, and you will be aware of the friendship that you have with the one who created you. After all, he created you in his image. He knows everything about us because he created us. So I promise that you'll want to look to him and look with the awareness of that friendship. I think also that a lot of times when we have friends and so forth, and I've been blessed to be able to have some friends, some doctor friends, some lawyer friends, and all of that. And if I go to visit them in their office on a professional thing, I just don't bust in and go back to their office and say, hey, I'm your friend, you know, I'm going to come. No, I treat it with respect and awe, and that's the way it is with Jesus becoming our friend. We treat that relationship with respect and awe.